Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside. Final hour of the show, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Happy NFL Eve. We're here. We made it. The National Football League is less than 24 hours away.
Let's go.
Of the season. You know, I feel like it's getting familiar now. The past 7 years getting to say, hey, we made it. Football leave. It's here. It's happening. But it is.
We get to sing like Manilow. Looks like we made it. Come on.
It always is. It's always the official end of summer, beginning of fall when we're getting into the NFL season and the first game. And look, we got from the Cowboys, and we're going to have big-time reaction after that game from it. It'll be the big story. Look, we already told you tonight how the Cowboys can win this game tomorrow against the Bucks because everybody thinks there's no way the Cowboys can win. No, there's a couple of ways they could pull it off, and one of them isn't really that much out of the realm of possibility. Yes, the Bucks have had all the great headlines in the offseason. They've had no COVID tests. Everybody is vaccinated. They brought back all their starters. Everybody is healthy. It's great. The Cowboys have had all kinds of COVID issues. Their quarterback was dinged up. Everything goes back to zero, right? If you want to say from the preseason that everything goes back to zero and none of what you saw the last 3 weeks matter, we all kick it off. Everything is different for opening week. You can't do that and then say, well, but look at the preseason so-and-so has had versus the preseason this team has had. No, it goes back to zero for everybody. Goes back to zero. And if I'm the Cowboys, I come out smoking tomorrow. And the watching world, this is why we chose these guys, right? Because we believe in these guys as our franchise quarterbacks. Same thing I'm going to say tomorrow for Mike McCarthy. Come out throwing the football. Why? Because you want to be able to throw this right at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the beginning game, right? Jets and Panthers are doing it because they're in a different spot right now. You're the Cowboys. You're allegedly a contender, right? You're a team that should contend and potentially win the NFC East because the rest of the division is terrible and you're getting your quarterback back this year. Don't come in with a game plan that's, hey, it's going to be a heavy dose of Ezekiel Elliott. We're going to let Dak Prescott get back into the swing of things. He's going to throw a lot of short passes. No. Come out and push the ball down the field aggressive right away. That's the only way you're going to win this game. And if you start with an upset on the road, Tampa Bay Buccaneers field goal at the end that beats you, well, you know what? Suddenly the Cowboys are feeling pretty good about themselves going into week two because not many teams go on the road and win opening week when you play the opening night game in the NFL. Not many teams do it. If they can do it or play a game where the Bucs have to pull everything out at the end, you'll feel really good about yourself and suddenly the Cowboys will look differently upon in the NFL. But you come out with some kind of, hey, we're going to run the football a little bit and see, and then you get down 14 and then you decide, okay, let's air it out and now we're moving the football. It doesn't matter. You're not going to come back from down 14-17 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? So let's do it right from the beginning. Let's be aggressive. That's what I want to see out of the Cowboys tomorrow night.
Line right now sitting outside the magic number of 7 at 8.5. The Bucs favorite at home. We went through the numbers a little bit early because – well, Jason Cole asked it rhetorically, and I had to go find it. 36-17 in openers are the defending Super Bowl champions. He wanted the home record. I don't know. I got the overall one. Why? Because I don't have a research staff. I don't have anybody on payroll yet. Yet. That could be you out there, America. You never know. This, John Machota on Twitter earlier today, Stephen Jones popped on radio, said, I don't believe Zach's going to be a player for us at this point for this game. It's looking like a stretch. And then he said this, and I ask you to interpret it because to me it just means, all right, he was on the field. Lyle Collins had probably his best week of practice. He's ready to roll. All right, the second line makes you feel better, but saying he had his best week of practice when he wasn't able to actually practice before doesn't mean a damn thing.
Well, he's not lying. He's telling you the truth.
No,
he did have his best week of practice. Was it his only week of practice? Yes, but it was still his best week of practice.
Oh, that's a tap dance if ever there was. So that offensive line concerns me, buddy.
You could also say it was his worst week of practice. You would not be wrong. There's
glass
many ways you could interpret that.
Well, it wasn't his – well, I guess, yeah, it's all about, number one, the rules of engagement are that he actually had to practice to be a good or bad week. So, yeah, there you go. Mm. I like that.
So with that game coming up tomorrow, we have other quarterback news that now apparently, according to one team's quarterback, the decision on who's going to start has been made. For the 49ers, the last couple of months has been an exercise in how to blow a really easy situation, right? Because when you drafted Trey Lance, everybody knows Trey Lance is going to play at some point, and at some point early on. All you have to do when you draft a quarterback that high, and there's questions because you have your incumbent starter in Jimmy Garoppolo, and now you have Trey Lance who's coming in and going to start at some point. It's very easy. You do what Bill Belichick does. He says, hey, Cam Newton is our starter. When Mac's ready, he's our guy. Okay, he said it a couple of times during the preseason. That was it, because he was definitive with his statement, and he said he's our guy. But the 49ers, because they're overthinking everything, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, well, can you say that Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback? Well, Jimmy is someone who's got all this experience, and Trey Lance is learning. Now, just answer the question. Is Jimmy Garoppolo your starter right now? Just answer. No. Couldn't say it. You had, the only thing you got was Jimmy Garoppolo about 10 days ago smiling, saying, hey, I think I know how things are going, and I thought I knew how it was going to go, and I'm pretty happy right now. Very cryptic for the 49ers starting quarterback job. Okay, we'll get something closer to the season. Well, today, the Niners put their depth chart out, and it shows Jimmy Garoppolo at the top. Did we get an answer from Kyle Shanahan that it was Jimmy Garoppolo? No. You had Jimmy Garoppolo at a press conference talk about that he's the starter. This is Garoppolo from earlier today.
At what point were you told or not told that you would be the starting quarterback this season?
For a while. I told you guys a long time ago. I had a pretty good feeling about it. I kind of joked about it. But, yeah, I always kind of knew where I stood and everything. And, now it's official, I guess.
All right, so think about this for a second. The quarterback had to say in a press conference that he was the starting quarterback.
Sure.
What's wrong with this picture? It's not the quarterback show. Quarterbacks don't do that. It's when the coach says, hey, this is our guy, or hey, there's a reason why we're going with so-and-so. But the Niners never did it. They never did. And now you had your quarterback. That's so embarrassing to have your quarterback out there. They are completely mismanaging this entire thing. But this is also a window into the San Francisco 49ers and when we're going to see Trey Lance, right? Now, today, when Kyle Shanahan was asked about it, hey, is Jimmy Garoppolo your guy? Is he your starter? This is the answer he gives. Quote, I'm not going to answer that because I feel like all you guys have got to do is look at how I've talked since July 27th. I mean, what kind of answer is that? Just say yes or no. Yes, he's your guy. No, he's not. I almost wish I wasn't hard-headed with it, but I feel like you guys have been a little hard-headed and keep asking. I feel like I've already answered it, so I'll keep it at that. How much easier is it for you to say, Jimmy's our guy? I mean, really. I mean, you have to go through this entire song and dance of, well, I've been answering it since the 27th, which you really haven't. You've been talking about how Jimmy's ahead and Jimmy knows a lot and Trey has left to work on. You've never said Jimmy Garoppolo is our starting quarterback. All you had to do was say, Jimmy's our guy. When Trey is ready, we'll make a decision. But Jimmy's our guy. But just seeing how they can't get that right tells you that something big is going on in San Francisco. And the Trey Lance era is way closer than any of us thought. Because if it was really Garoppolo and Trey Lance was so far behind, then today Kyle Shanahan would have said, look, Jimmy is starter. Trey, we think the world of Trey, and when Trey is ready, he'll come in. But right now, Jimmy clearly won the job. He's better. They would have said it. They would have said something that would have definitively put Garoppolo in at the starter, so they're not answering questions like this all the time. But the fact that Kyle Shanahan goes into this crazy answer about, I'm not going to answer it because go back to look at what I've said. I don't want to be hard-headed. You're being hard-headed. It's like, oh, wait, something's up here. Like right in the middle of that answer, I know something is up. Something is up, and the Garoppolo era is not going to be very long. At this point, If it's two games, I'm surprised. If it's 10-3 at halftime against the Lions because Garoppolo is starting because they have a couple of easy games, at least on paper off the top. Look, you play the Lions to start. And maybe that's why he's out there. Look, I understand that. We don't want to screw this up. We have a lot of talent. We should out-talent the Lions and win. But if it's a 10-3 game at halftime, guess who's coming out for the second half? Trey Lance is coming out. This crazy answer by Kyle Shanahan as he's trying to just foster more confusion and put a fog out there for everybody really just cuts right through and tells me, okay, now I know exactly what's going on right here. This, he doesn't even know what he's saying. This means Trey Lance is going to be starting soon, but he doesn't want to say it because he's not ready quite yet, wants to give Jimmy a chance, but that's all that I'm seeing right now after this.
First off, my piece of advice to the 49ers, on first down, the Lions will run. Hi, Anthony Lynn. Going back to all of his statements going a few weeks, well, is this one of those things where we take the first letter from every sentence he uttered and piece it together, and there was your secret decoder message? Drink more Ovaltine or thereabouts?
Be sure. What is it?
And I think part of this is the hubris of, I don't need to tell you stuff. Just watch. See how it goes. And Garoppolo, you know, in the soundbite you heard, did talk about, you know, I told you guys and I joked with you guys a while back, that I felt good where I stood. Well, that said everything to me. And Lance showed a little bit, right, in the preseason. And obviously we know what we've got on tape in the past, but there's still a lot to be learned. And you've got a team that can go and win. So I don't know that a 10-3 halftime, 10-3 final, maybe week two. But I don't think quite that hook comes quite so fast. Remember, last time Jimmy G was healthy, you were a Super Bowl contender. You were there. You were almost dancing with Jimmy G of the south side of Chicago. I mean, you might have been able to do it. You might have been celebrating with some Portillo's beef. Who knows? But the idea is you've got an offense with a lot of speed. You got a defense that's loaded for bear. You've got a squad that should be things, all things considered equal, a Super Bowl contender, which means you go to the guy that's won 75% of his games, completed 68% of his passes, and you make that work. Does it mean that we won't see Trey Lance at all? No, I think we've got some gadgetry coming in, and that he'll get his snaps, and that he'll be able to chuck it downfield and make some excitement. But I don't think they hand the keys to him quite so early. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the last to actually get on the field.
They will hand it to him. They will hand it to him so fast. I mean, just think about halftime. Down 10-3 to the Lions. Are we going to lose this game to the Lions? Jimmy is not doing it, right? You already know. You've drafted Trey Lance to do this. Are you really going to say we're going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo? We're going to lose this game? No, you're going to say we're going to go to Trey Lance. Trey Lance is going to play,
yeah,
and then he's going to have to start.
Saying like you've had a terrible play necessarily from Garoppolo. Maybe it's one of those move the ball and you can blame the idiot kicker. I don't know.
Yeah, but you can't change. But you also can't change a team. What is Bill Parcells, one of his favorite quotes? I can't inspire a team by changing the left guard. You know, you inspire a team by changing the quarterback, and if the team puts 3 points on the board, yeah, I'm gonna be pretty safe on saying
Parcells
the quarterback is probably
wrong.
Not playing well. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say if the offense has 3 points, I can say the quarterback's not been the big spark plug to the engine here in the first
Maybe
half.
Maybe he was
making
intimidated.
Well, if Dan Campbell does come over and start to fight him during a game and injure him, then I will say you're right. Then things get out of hand, which could happen because Dan Campbell could wind up doing that. I mean, yeah, if there's any guy to get potentially getting on the field and actually fighting a player, or is that, yeah, it's Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's that guy.
Now, there is a prop bet of prop bets.
Does Dan Campbell step on the field and get involved with a player? That is a great prop bet, buddy. I like that. That's a great prop. I wonder what the odds would, it would be just for Sunday or with the entire season.
I don't know. I'll text Furman and see what kind of thing he can put together for us.
All right, cool, because I think that's pretty cool, man. I like that a lot. Dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need it or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. But just watch. All this crazy stuff by Kyle Shanahan, all this misdirection, this means the Trey Lance era is coming way sooner than you thought.
Jimmy.
Trust me. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Coming up next, finally, Tyson. We talked about Jimmy Garoppolo for like 12 minutes.
Jimmy.
And we didn't get a Dimmy. You didn't get a Timmy or
a Jimmy
until the very
Yimmy.
End right there. I didn't get that.
These nuts!
All the way until the end. Coming up next, we have another quarterback situation that is going to force me to go back on a big prediction I made earlier this year. I got to go back on it, and I can do it because it's a prediction and hasn't started yet. I have to do it. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And now, before we get to the big prediction I need to take back here that I made a few months ago, let me just a little bit more on this whole Garoppolo story from today, where Garoppolo's had to say he's the starter and Kyle Shanahan still won't say he's the starter. It's insane. This tells you that the Trey Lance era is coming soon and maybe even Sunday by the third quarter. The one thing that I can't stand that I get to all the time that, it grinds my gears, Dave, let me tell you, is when pundits say, you don't want this guy to start his NFL career against this defense X. Right, you see that all the time. You don't want this guy to start his career. You want him to be able to start when he can play against a team that doesn't have a strong defense. And I can't stand that because you know what? The guy's either good or he isn't. Right? You can't cherry pick in the NFL. Well, wait, because we're going to put him when they play the Bengals. That's the first time we're saying. You draft a guy in the first round because he could be a transcendent talent. And you, as long as he is prepared, it doesn't matter what bleeping defense he's going to face. Is his career really going to be terrible if his first two games are against two really good defenses and he has rough games and then he bounces back playing against defenses that aren't that good? Of course not. And if a guy goes in the tank and he can't play quarterback because his first two games in the NFL didn't go his way, well, you know what? You got the quarterback wrong, and it's your fault. But when I hear him say, oh, you don't want him to start, this is the NFL, all right? You're going to have to play against good teams. You know, you're going to have to play. You can't get a bye into the Super Bowl. If there was, boy, the Jets would have found it by now. You're going to have to play good teams, right? For the Bears, they're going to start Andy Dalton. Why? Put Justin Fields out there. Let him play week one. Let me see. Maybe he is fantastic and suddenly he gains all kinds of confidence because he's great against a really good defense and he plays well. And if he plays poorly, what does it matter? The guy's starting out and he's got all kinds of experience because he played against a really good defense and now he knows how things work, and as things go later on, things may get easier for him because, A, the teams I'm playing, not quite as good as this team I played week one. I understand the philosophy about it, but now it's different, where players come into the league ready to play quarterback more so than they ever have. Guys for a season or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, the guys have to play early. You draft them in the first round, they have to play early. So if they're that ready and they're that talented, why wouldn't you put them out there? Why subscribe to this whole old, oh, well, the first 2 weeks we play really good defense, so let's not do that. No, put them out there, let them play. It's tackle football.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to it is team to team, you've got to decide, is the guy ready for prime time right now? And when we get to Trey Lance, I think you saw enough to say, eh. With the Bears, it grew on me as we watched more of Justin Fields. Because, look, that offensive line ain't getting any better. So, at some point, it's the save it for good. Is it going to work? To your point, and it's one that I've been making for years on this show, is if the guy's going into the tank, he ain't your guy. Right? That's why the prediction you're about to take back, it's why I was telling you you were wrong while you were making it. Because, you know, if a guy crumbles under competition or that early lack of success, right, a couple of rough games off the jump, because generally what happens? You're getting drafted early. Why? Unless it's you're reaping the benefits of some deal you made in the past or someone falls into your lap, right? You're able to parlay some things to move up, right? With the Bears, they didn't think Justin Fields was going to be there. That's why they gave Andy Dalton the the deal he did. Now, when you add it to the fact that they already had Nick Foles under contract, it lends itself to more of just the insanity in the front office and coaching staff in concert with the Bears. But, you know, with Justin Fields, it looks, at least on paper, after watching the preseason games, that you've got the guy. And everybody says, oh, did you see that one throw? It's like, yes, every quarterback that's coming into the league and going back down to college freshmen, they're all making that throw on the run. Not to say it's still not pretty. I'm not certainly not taking away from being able to make it. Just saying we're seeing that more consistently than we did with the statues once upon a time. But with the idea of a guy going into the tank, then, yeah, you make a mistake, right? Bears were a number seven seed and Fields falls into their lap. The Patriots get Mac Jones at number 15 and all of a sudden the love fest of Mac Jones is nauseating. Guy that everybody hated the pick when they made it. Oh, they reached. Oh, they did. No. Now he's the perfect guy. All right. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. And you have a pretty good roster and he gets to play out of all of these teams that we're talking about. Who's got the best offensive line? The Patriots, by far, of all the rookie quarterbacks. He's going to be the guy that benefits from five guys that actually look like they've played tackle football at the professional level together. But it's the same argument of you've got to find out as you roll, and whether it's two games, five games, eight games, if you're a contender, then yeah, maybe you're waiting a little bit. San Francisco's in that unique position, right, with Trey Lance because of the trades and everything that went on, that he's there for them and they go get him at number three. So the excitement is there. But you saw mistakes. You saw the nervousness, and for both he and Fields, you saw moments where it's like, all right, they're not picking up some of the nuances and potentially they get themselves in harm's way. Not just, hey, they might lose for the team, but you're also looking out, and that's not on the offensive line. I'm referring to that Justin Fields hit where he didn't see the guy coming up and then got his clock cleaned. And that's one of those moments of, all right, is he got that part of the playbook and the nuance of the NFL of reading what defenses are doing right? Despite the athleticism, we'll see. But yeah, if the guy's going to turtle, then he's done. You picked wrong, and you or the guy that succeeds you, front office, will be picking their replacement. So go make the most of it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Throw the guy out there. That's why the Jets are doing the right thing. Just put Zach Wilson out there.
They don't
there
have another option.
50 times.
Okay, these other teams actually have guys that are viable. The Jets have nothing.
No, come on.
They have the ghost of Joe Namath.
Come on. We could put Browning Nagel out there, and he would be just fine if he had to play a couple of downs.
It'd
be okay.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
So it was right after the Colts signed Carson Wentz in the end of free agency. We made our big predictions for the season free agency wise after this happened. And I said, you know, the Colts are going to the AFC Championship game. They have everything they need. Carson Wentz back with Frank Reich, who was his coach when he achieved his greatest height, when he was a Pro Bowl MVP candidate. And it was the right fit. He's out of the medium grist mill that is Philadelphia, and he's in Indianapolis where it's, hey, yeah, we don't care, man. Just show up. It really doesn't matter. It was a great fit for him. And it just gnawed at me because I'm thinking about we have to make our AFC and NFC championship game picks. And I'm going, boy, do I really still believe in the Colts? And I'm thinking about that today. And then I see the Howie Roseman quote from 94 WIP in Philadelphia, big radio station, Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM. And Howie Roseman was asked about having Carson Wentz, but needing to move on to go to Jalen Hurts. And this was Howie Roseman's answer.
It's funny because, you know, I look at what's going on around the league and, you know, I think specifically about San Francisco, you know, and they sat there and they said, hey, we like our starting quarterback, but we got to make sure he stays on the field. And they traded 3 first-round picks to go up and get another quarterback. And their quarterback had been a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, and they spent a lot of picks on that. And that's what we were saying last year. Like, you know, we love Carson, but we've played 4 playoff games, and we've needed our backup quarterback in all of them. It's too important of a position to not have that. And so I think that just thinking about where we were at the moment, I think it was the right thing to do. You know, it's a hard decision, but it was the right thing to do.
So listen to that part right there. We had 4 playoff games, and we needed our backup quarterback in every one of them. It's not that I don't think Carson Wentz can go into Indianapolis and play well. He will. He's going to be asked to do a little bit less than he had to do in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, it was, Carson, you got to do it. You're the guy. We took you 2nd overall. You were 33 touchdowns and 7 picks before you got hurt in our Super Bowl season. Okay, but you had to do it all because you really didn't have a lot of weapons around you. But here in Indianapolis, it's, hey, we got 3 running backs. Don't worry about it. We got like 3 good pass catchers. We have a really good defense. We have a really good offensive line, man. We got everything you need here in Indianapolis. It's not that I don't think he's not going to play well, but do I really think he's going to be healthy? He's already coming into the season, and he's not healthy. All right, he's coming off a foot injury. He's had no preseason. And to think he's going to suddenly be healthy all year long when he's never healthy, that's what has me backing off of this. I have to officially back off of my Colts to the AFC Championship game prediction because I just can't think and just bank on the fact that he's going to play enough to have the Colts in that position, that he's not going to get hurt and miss 6 to 8 weeks or get hurt in week 14 and miss the end of the season. I just can't. Once a guy is injury prone, it's hard to get past that. And it's been that way for him for a long bleeping time. And is that suddenly going to get better? It's like it was a big red flag coming up. Hey, you saw this injury already in the preseason. He was just working out. Look what happened to him. He's not a guy that can stay healthy. So yeah, I got to back away from that. And I got to have a new team in my AFC Championship game. Jets.
Yeah, I was trying to counsel you on that. Yeah, I was counseling you on that as you were making the pick going, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't trust this guy. We always go to, hey, when was this guy last good? 5 years ago? Yeah. If we can do that with Cam Newton and we can do that with so many other quarterbacks in this league, I'm doing it with Carson Wentz. I don't care if he found his security blanket and hanging out with Frank Reich. As soon as he lost in the physical, look, the physical is a whole other mess, as you heard in the clip, right? Every year you've got to go to somebody else, and he's out of games, and that starts to get you a tag in the locker room and externally. Especially in a city like Philadelphia and the harshness of media and fans. But the reality is he also had the competition of Jalen Hurts. And what did he do? He wilted. And that was it. As soon as that happened, I was out for that moment. And then you come in and you got a foot injury and so much other wide receivers. No T.Y. Hilton, not that he's a world beater, but he's a guy that has been a fairly consistent target the last couple of years. So yeah, it all adds up to I was out on Wentz. The only thing that would push them anywhere near the front would have been, well, just look at that division. And you got 4 games against Jacksonville and the planet Houston. So you're feeling okay there. But those are no gimmies either. Right, as much as you may look at the roster and you love Taylor, you love Nyheim Hines, and you love the return of the Mac, had to get that in. That you've got all these different opportunities. Darius Leonard's re-signed, etc. I can't do it. I couldn't get behind it then, and I'm glad that we finally pulled you back from the edge, buddy.
It was hard, buddy. It was hard, but I really, after hearing Howie Roseman today, just hear him say, we've had 4 playoff games. We need our backup quarterback in every one.
Sometimes you just need that reminder. Yeah.
And I just keep thinking about Carson Wentz. Like, all I'm thinking of, he's healthy going into week one. He's going to be fine. He's good. He's got the whole off season, all this. And it's like, am I just wanting that to happen because I made the pick? Because if I'm looking at this realistically, it's, oh my goodness, what could possibly happen here to the Colts? I mean, he's not a guy that's going to be, I can say, for 17 weeks, for 14 weeks, for 10 weeks. Like, if I put the over-under, how many weeks does he start a quarterback for the Colts this year? What would be your line? What would be where you would put the over-under line at? What would you put it at? Would you put it at 10?
10.5, 12? Maybe.
10.5?
10.5 or 11.5, yeah.
Right? So you're like, okay, are those? Is that a six-game stretch in the middle of the season? Where they
either way, it's a third
of
the
six?
Games that, yeah. have, that gives it a herky-jerky motion to try to get any level of consistency.
I just can't do it, buddy. I just can't do it. I can't. So that means new teams in the AFC Championship game. Hooray! The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Mike Harmon on Twitter, at I Told You So. At Swollen Dome. How about a Fresca for me? Coming up next, we break down the biggest game of the night and tell you exactly why it turned out the way it did. That's next. And it's not the Mets blowing a game against the Marlins, trust me. It's another game. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Who wants a mustache ride?
Happy NFL Eve. We made it. We made it. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about the Cowboys and the Bucks. Oh, it's going to be a glorious, glorious night.
Oh, yeah. I'll be in the studio eating a bucket of chicken and just mocking your Cowboys.
You already know what you're going to eat for dinner tomorrow night?
Well, it's like laying out my clothes. I've already got my outfit for tomorrow and decided I'm going to get a bucket of chicken.
Like you're in school. Hey, make sure you lay your clothes out for tomorrow, right? So you don't we don't want to waste time getting to school in the morning. All right, Mom, I'll do that. Don't worry. I'm going to have my Jay Cutler shirt, and I'm going to have my jeans.
No. Tomorrow, you know, I got a shirt that we'll save it, you know, what the reveal is. But we've got our Thunder Lips cape, and we'll be ready to go.
Hey, Mom, I laid my clothes out. Can I have a bucket of chicken for lunch? Could you put that in my lunchbox?
You don't need a lunchbox if you got a bucket for your chicken.
I could just see you walking with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken from class to class to just wait to eat at lunchtime.
I would be the most popular dude walking the halls. What's he got? Chicken. What do you got? A little spicy, extra crispy? Damn right.
Carry the
what do you got
around?
In that other satchel? Bunch of honey. You want some honey to go with your chicken? Let's go.
Oh, man. I could just see you with, like, having, like, the handle and putting it over your shoulder, backpack on one shoulder, hey. Bucket of chicken on the other shoulder.
My man, you know, there's a new cartoon coming out based on a Twitter account that's called Chicago Party Ant.
Okay.
And it's going to be on Netflix. This is a big deal. This is going to be funny as hell because the Twitter account is next level. Now we can have little Mikey Harmon running around the South Side in my Catholic grade school. I mean, it's a little bit of redundancy with the Chicago references, but it'll be funny nonetheless.
Bring that bucket of chicken in. Hey, you go. Have a breast. Here you have a breast. You have a wing. You have a thigh. You can have a leg. Oh, I still got 16 pieces left. Oh, I'm all good. I'm everybody's best friend. I'm Mike Harmon. I'm giving out free chicken.
If I'm doling out chicken, am I not the best guy? Tight shirt? Like, he would even be tempted.
No, tight shirt's not going to eat meat. Doesn't matter. If
yeah,
you had a bowl of quinoa.
I'm with Jan that, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, if
you
can't
even back
around,
me up for a moment that it wouldn't be.
You'd be Tim. I'm the one giving out free chicken. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Who can you trust?
Well, you know, I am working on my I haven't decided. Am I going Joker by Nicholson, or are we going to really bedazzle for the White Sox World Series run a Sox jersey and hat like I'm Elton John back at Dodger Stadium in the mid-70s?
See, now I'm picturing you like at the parade in the back of the convertible with and you're just throwing chicken to people on the side. You're pointing to a kid.
Hubba,
hey, here comes a breast. You right there. Boom. Oh, and then you see a pretty woman. You write your phone number on the piece of chicken. Throw it out. There you go.
What did he write that later. In, honey?
Call me later. So while Mike Harmon is dreaming about chicken for tomorrow, a big win tonight for the United States men's national team in this window of qualifying. They beat Honduras 4-1 after playing the most craptastic of first halves. They look uninspired. Mm-hmm. Look, the United States, nothing's changed. They don't have any flow. They don't have a sync to their game. They don't have an identity. They don't have anything. Christian Pulisic, as much as said, hey, we're lost, right? We don't know what the coaching situation's trying to accomplish. And Greg Berhalter would have been fired. He was 45 minutes away from being replaced by me as the next head coach. But he makes three big substitutions at halftime, and a couple of those guys go in and play terrific second halves and control the game. I mean, Pepe might be a star, right? 18 years old, and it was a different United States team in the second half. Now, I give Berhalter credit for doing that, but this wasn't, hey, I got a big plan to unleash at halftime here. No, this was the desperation. What we're doing isn't working, hasn't worked for 2.5 games. So now I'm at least going to try to get everybody's attention by benching three guys and putting substitutions in. Because he doesn't usually substitute until the 85th minute when the game is already gone, which is just ridiculous. This was more desperation. I'm just going to try to shake things up and hopefully we score a couple goals so I can keep my job. And that's what happened.
Well, the most curious thing is that they didn't run in the first half. There were a lot of, hey, I'm on a breakout. Where are my wings? Not here. Defensively, breakdown after breakdown. Second half, all of a sudden, inspired. A couple of substitutions. Everybody wants to get out. And you saw the difference in the second half, just athletically, how much better they were. The lead passes and finishing, just huge.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. I feel better than I did a couple days ago, but not that great. My buddy Ben Maller's next, Fox.